Well, good morning. This is April 5th, 2019. This is the first official podcast of Katz and Wolf on Bedlam Farm. I am John Katz.
And I'm Maria Wolf.
And we are here sharing our lives together, and we're going to start a new weekly podcast, which will be available. That's Red whining in the background, if you want to hear Red, as he does when there's a recording of anything. This is going to be a real podcast. We're not editing it out. We're not eliminating real life. You'll hear dogs barking and whining. Trucks going by, me clearing my throat. Went to a throat specialist yesterday who's on antibiotics for a sinus infection. So my lip smacking and coughing may even disappear. So we have a lot of things to talk about. I think one of the first things to talk about is the fact that Maria has made a decision about the open house. And maybe you can just tell people about it.
Well, last year at the open house, we decided to do something different. We got rained out on one day, and we didn't have the usual amount of people coming, and we just both thought that it was time to do something different. We've been doing the open house for
seven years.
And sometimes we had done it twice a year. So we've been doing it for a long time consistently, and it seemed like we just needed to do something different. The other thing that changed is when we moved to Bedlam Farm 2, which is where we live now, for me to have exhibit artists, other artists' work, I have to empty out my whole studio and literally pull out all my fabric and the furniture. And it takes weeks. So it really is an imposition and breaks up my work. And I always loved doing the open house, and I was always willing to do it. I just don't feel like I want to do that. So I was trying to think of a new way of doing an open house, but I'm just not feeling it this year. I can't come up with an idea that seems to me that would work. So we've decided just to skip this year.
Anyway, as an observer of these projects, the open houses are very exciting. People, initially there were 1,500, 2,000 people would come. It's quieted down a bit. I have fewer books out. But I also was an observer of watching Maria prepare for these things. It was like watching Wile E. Coyote tear up and down the canyons, furniture moving around. And
I would take furniture out of the house and put it in my studio.
And clean out your studio and everything. It's very disruptive. We're also, I think, wrestling with this kind of, you know, Maria's become very established as an artist, and a lot of people are, you know, we go to the open house and there's a lot of contact and messages back and forth, and it's just got to be a little much. So I think it's good to take a year or two off. I suspect we'll come up with something else in a year or two.
I feel like we will come up with something, because I still love the idea of supporting other artists, and this is such a good way. We have a really good way of doing it, just because of our blogs, and you have so many, and I have a lot too, of people around the country and around the world who are really interested in our work and what we do. So it's a good way to promote other artists.
And this is a good also use of a podcast too, because we can explain these things, which we haven't really had a chance to do, especially together, which I think is very cool. I'm excited about it. I think Maria is also. You know, this came out of my radio show experience. Excuse me. That also came out of my radio show experience. You know, the idea that Maria came on the show every week, and we really had a good time talking to each other.
Your radio show talking to animals.
My radio show talking to animals. And we realized, well, we can do this together. You know, this is really going to work. And out of that also came a lot of revelations about training Bud.
I was really surprised at how our conversation on the radio, I mean, we talk all the time, but when you're doing it on the radio, and I would just call in, and I was surprised how easy I found it to do. I thought I would have a harder time with it. And it actually, I think because we talk all the time and you're very easy to talk to and you always have something else to say, and you're always, you know, able to bring up new ideas and new thoughts, that it was very easy. I found it very easy to do. So I wasn't nervous at all, because it was just like having a conversation with you.
And I think it also gives us a chance to share our lives, as we try to do on our blogs, in the way that we come together. So this feels really good to me. There are a lot of things going on in my life right now. I'm having a very successful program, getting some refugee immigrant children in Albany into private school. One accepted. One has been invited to apply and taking a test. Two really remarkable young people, both of whom grew up in refugee camps, United Nations camps, and really have suffered And they're going to be a great asset to these schools. And I'm working with three or four schools to try to get one or two kids a year accepted. We're off to a great start. We're also going to have a commitment ceremony, at the mansion. Ruth and Wayne are going to get committed. And I'm going to be involved in that. And I'm very excited about that. I'm also talking to an agent about doing another book, which is really about how Red and I have come to terms with mortality and death through our therapy work. What I've learned about dying, what I've learned about getting older, what I've learned about my own mortality. I think it would be good to write a book about that would hopefully be useful to people. So this all plays into, you know, there's a lot of things going on our lives here. And one of the threads of things we want to be talking about are our animals. You know, the big drama, I guess, at the moment, I would say would be Bud. Never had a dog who was quite so beat up and battered as when he came in from Arkansas. And so he's revived my own passion for training. I've had to learn a lot, read a lot, and think a lot about how to deal with him. And we've just had this experience about the crate.
Yeah, this is a new thing that just came up, and there's always seems to be something new that's coming up with the animals, and especially with Bud, because he's still new to us, and so he's changing all the time. But we wanted to have him go in a crate in John's office when we went away, and John was trying to get him to go in the crate, and he was afraid of it. So what did you do? You said you tried to pull him into the crate.
I tried to pull him in the crate, and he was, you know, but I don't know all the details of Bud's previous life. He was confined for a year or two in a pen. The other dogs died of exposure and starvation, and the rescue group brought him out of there. He's very grounded dog. He loves being on the farm. He loves raising hell and causing trouble. But there are certain things that just absolutely terrify him.
Yeah.
And you get to see, how something, and I don't know what it is. You know, it's the thing about having a rescue dog. You don't really know exactly what happened to them.
All of a sudden, you know, he'll do these things like he won't want to come upstairs at night. He'll just be afraid to go upstairs, or he'll
the fly swatter terrified.
I killed the fly with the fly swatter, and he was just terrified. I think it was the sound.
And a fly is the only creature that Maria will ever kill.
Well, a mosquito too. I actually will kill a mosquito.
Okay, but everything else gets rehomed.
Yeah, if I can.
And reevaluated and recommitted. I've seen you carry many a spider or ladybug and crickets out of the house so they find a good new home.
Well, of course.
But not flies. Flies get a bad treatment. But
there are enough flies in the world.
When I saw how terrified I was making him and defeating myself, of course, because you do that once or twice and he'll never go in the crate. But he was so frightened, it really shook me up. And I said, what am I doing? So I went back to my...
The thing is, you recognized it right away, which I thought was very good.
Well, and shifted gears radically. Got a new crate, got a bigger crate. I'm thinking he likes to be in a more open crate, have a little more room, not under something, not with the sides blocked off. And then I just started throwing treats in there. He was a little wary at first, and now runs right in. And he took about 2 days.
And we started feeding him in there, too.
Put the food in there, and that's him barking out the window. So I think that's a lesson there. It's a big lesson for training. You know, people ask me all the time for advice about dogs. And I can be very smart, and I can be very dumb, like all of us. You know, we're not perfect. We're not Cesar Millan. We don't have 20 production assistants. And we make mistakes. And the challenge is to recognize them and react before you cause the dog too much trouble. So now he runs in and out of the crate all the time, and we've locked him in there a couple of times, and he's fine with it. So it was a good lesson to me to pay more attention, to be more thoughtful, to get to know the dog and listen to him. You know, when a dog is that frightened, you don't push it. You know, you go find another way around. There's always another way around. And I like to think that we are really, in the final analysis, smarter than them. Not always. That may not be true, but with other dogs. And you've been going through somewhat the same thing.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because I was just going to say when you have something like that happen where, you know, the dog, I always have this idea. I think I had this idea, which I'm just lately coming to understand, that I have this idea that my dogs should do exactly what I tell them to do when I tell them to do that. And they should do it not because I have taught them to do it, but just because they should do it, because they're my dogs and they're supposed to do this, right?
Dogs are supposed to do what we tell them.
They're supposed to do what I tell them to do. And meanwhile, as I learned with Fate, I may be saying something to her, but and have a certain intention of what I want her to do, but it could be that my body and everything else about me is telling her the opposite. So I think I've come to see that I'm often, very often, training Fate to do things, to do the opposite of what I really want her to do, unintentionally. And I just lost my train of thought.
That's right. Somebody came in the house, so we got distracted. Yeah. You're talking about how you get tapped back into her, you know, by being softer, by being quieter, by being
less. Right. And so this idea that a dog should do just what we want them to do because we want them to do it, instead of like taking a moment like you did with the crane, say, okay, what's the situation? What's going on here? And what do I need to, you know, what do I need to change about what I'm doing?
So what have you really changed?
Oh, nothing. No, that's not true. No, I think I'm just more thoughtful about it. And I don't have this
and
idea.
The softer ideas.
Yeah. Well, I'm more thoughtful about it. And I don't have this, intellectually, I don't have this idea that she should just do what I want. And well, the idea of being soft is something that I've come to. After one of the radio shows that I did with John, I was thinking about, okay, how can I get Fate to even respond to me more? And I realized that when I'm uptight and my body is tight and I can feel a tension and it's in my voice and it's in my body and I tell her to do something, she's much less likely to respond. But if I make myself soft, and it's like through my whole body, if I make myself soft and gentle, then she is more like, there's more of a connection. You can kind of feel the connection and the space between me and her. And I feel this with the donkeys too, the space between us is more open and more receptive. And it's a softening, like a physical softening, as well as a, you know, clearing my mind and
clarity in your own sense.
A clarity and an openness. Like there's this openness, not of you're gonna do what I say when I say it, but more of a flow, so that there's more of a flow throughout my whole body, really.
This is a huge training concept of mine, that whenever you're yelling at a dog, you need to stop and ask yourself, what are you doing wrong? What's the problem here? It's always the human's problem, not the dog, because they're usually very eager to please us. That's how they survive. That's how they prosper. And when you're yelling at a dog and you're out of control, the dog is getting confused. The dog is getting anxious. And it's very, very important, I think, to stop and step back and say, okay, how can I do this a different way? I always see when I'm yelling, I'm yelling at Fate for like 3 years to get out of the pasture.
She's easy to yell at.
And you just do. And she doesn't really care. But she does care, obviously, because when you change the tone, she changed. And something you were trying to do for years, you did in a minute.
It took one day for me to figure, I mean, after the radio show and we talked about it, it took that time to realize this is what I need to do. And now she's so much more responsive and we just communicate in a very different way. And it is that, it's just what I was talking about, the softness and not being so,
It's about being self-aware, you know, it's about stopping and saying, okay, what am I bringing to this? What are my issues? In my case, it's frustration, impatience, and anger. And every time I get a dog, I tackle those issues in a more direct way. So the dogs have really made me a better person in that respect. I've learned about my anger. I've learned about my frustration. And I've challenged those things. By the way, I want to say one thing I really like about this podcast. You can tell as we're getting more comfortable as we get into it. We were a little tight at the beginning and unsure because it's new for us. And one thing I like about what we're doing is we're just opening up the process. People can hear us figure it out.
I think it's like our blogs. It's going to evolve naturally. And of course, this is the first one that we're doing, so it's going to be a little tight. We might be a little, you know,
I'm
unsure of ourselves.
I'm clearing my throat and getting my throat in order.
It will get better. And the thing is, you'll be able to, whoever's listening, will be able to hear that process of it getting better and us getting more comfortable and it becoming easier.
And to me, this is about being authentic. You know, I'm not going to put together a polished corporate video. You know, I always say you get the good cats and the bad cats, but you get the real one. Maria's pretty even compared to me, so I think.
Well, what, like I, nice what, I, what I put out there is pretty even.
That's true. They don't live with you. But I think you're pretty special. And I think we're also, you know, going to be a little bit talking about our own relationships and how we deal with things together and how we have put together this farm and this life and the decisions we make. That's part of what the podcast is about. I want to take one word to say something about the radio show, talking to animals. I've just done my last one. Thomas, my partner in that, is moving on to other things. And it's not really possible for me to do that without him. It's also, he runs the machinery, which was built during the Korean War, and I don't think anyone else in the world can run it. And the station has its own struggles. So I was thinking about the podcast. Maria and I were talking about it anyway. So it seemed a very natural transition. And I thank the people who called the show. It was just really starting to work, which is a little bit sad and frustrating for me, because it's a long time dream of mine to have a program like that. People were beginning to connect to it, beginning to listen to it, and beginning to call. And of course, as life happens, then it came apart. So I would have not looking to leave, and I'm not happy to have stopped it, but I'm very happy to get the podcast. I learned a lot. You know, I've read maybe 8 or 9 books about dogs, consciousness, intelligence, and I want to keep talking about that. And I hope you'll continue to email me at jon@bedlamfarm.com with questions. We can deal with some of those questions here. So one of the other things I want to do on the podcast,
The radio show led directly to the podcast.
Directly.
If you hadn't, it's the way things, this is how creativity works. One thing leads to another. And when something, and it's can be how life works too, but I definitely see it in creativity. One thing always leads to another, but you have to do that thing. You can't just think about it. And once you do it, once you actually make it happen, it may not last. But it always leads to something else. And the radio show is definitely what led us to say, yeah, we can do this because of the way we were able to talk to each other on the podcast that made us both open to it.
Well, that's true. And I think it also challenged me to, you know, pay more attention, do some more research, do some more reading. You know, when I talk to people about dogs, I do my homework. You know, I don't want to just be, you know, blowing smoke out of my butt. And I have some favorites, you know, Stanley Coren, James Chappelle, Patricia McDonald. People I really, really respect and listen to who have spent their lives studying these issues. You know, I believe in science. You know, I know science is in trouble in many parts of the country, but I believe in it. These people have spent years and years researching these questions we talk about, like the dog issues we're talking about with Bud. They've really helped me to be a better dog owner. I mean, I believe in stewardship. It's my job to be responsible for these dogs.
You know what I keep thinking about? What one of the things that you read, I think it was Patricia McConnell, where she talked about using too many words. And I think about that a lot now. And I'm still doing it, but I'm really conscious of watching myself and listening to myself and saying, okay, you know, less words. And understanding why when you read that passage by her, understanding why that it makes it more confusing because they become so used to the sound of our voice, they don't even hear it anymore. Like she used the example, I think, of if you live near a train and you don't hear it anymore. That I understand. And hearing that, it's like, okay, that really makes sense to me. I get that. And I'm really thinking differently about how many words I use. And to understand that the more words I use, it's not helpful. You know,
much as we love them, you know, we forget that they don't speak our language and it's not natural to them. They can learn some words. Some of them can learn a lot of words, but most dogs just hear blah, 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 blah when we're running our mouths. If you hold up a piece of food to your head and say, you know, hey, Bud, look at me. And he looks at you, you're making contact and then he's paying attention to you. And so, you know, it's important that, you know, you want a dog to sit, just say sit. Don't say you better sit right now or sit, please, or hurry up and sit. And just be conscious of the words you're using. That was the big lesson, I think.
It was really big. And she also, I think, compared it to learning another language, how easy it is to learn one word. But then when you put it in a whole string of words, it's spoken quickly. I mean, how could they possibly, when you think about it, it's ridiculous to think they could understand that.
And they don't speak English. They don't speak English.
I know. So it's like, it's ridiculous to think that they should understand at all.
I tried wagging my butt at the dog the other day because they talk with tails. And, you know, Red looked at me like, oh, he's losing it. I think John is losing it.
That's very funny. Well, I do think of the body language too, because I'm sure they respond to that, you know.
And the thing that sticks in my mind is reading the wonderful book about a mama hug, mama's hug, mama's last hug.
Yeah.
Was talking about this primatologist is talking about, you know, there's a difference between emotions and feelings. Emotions are things that you can see. You can see if somebody's angry, if somebody's fearful, if somebody's twitching. Feelings are things you have to describe verbally, and dogs can't do that. So we trust what we see on the outside, and we just speculate about what's going on the inside. We don't know what they're feeling. We know we can recognize certain emotions, but we don't, because they can't tell us.
It's such an interesting distinction, and one that I'm still having a little bit of a hard time wrapping my head around. But I think the more I get used to it, the idea of it, the more it'll come through.
It's just what's not spoken.
Yeah.
Can't be known.
And they don't speak. So even though as much as we think that we know.
So one of the things we think we want to do on the podcast is really to talk about our own creativity and our processes of creativity, because that's really one of the things that brought us together and binds us.
And the animals, really. But the creativity was a huge part.
And encouraging people in creativity. And I want to tell you this woman named Cynthia Daniello, remarkable woman, 84 years old. She started calling my radio show, and I listened to this. She's had horses. She grew up on a farm. She was in a vet clinic for 35 years. She knows a lot about animals. And it was very clear to me, and she's in a sort of independent living place, and was consoling with me about what I'd written about, how the elderly are often just ignored and pushed aside. And I said, well, why don't you start a blog? And this stunned her. And she just emailed me yesterday, I'm going to write about it today. She's going to start a blog. The son's going to help her put it together. And she's going to talk about her life and her feelings about animals. And I'm going to really support that, because I think it's a very powerful and affirming thing for a person that age to get up and say, you know what, I have things to contribute. I know a lot. I don't have to disappear.
And you know, this is three things that you're doing in your life come together in this. Working with the elderly, talking about animals and creativity. And so all those three things come together in what you're doing, or what Cynthia is doing, and what you have encouraged her to do.
And I'm going to follow her pretty closely on the blog and support her. And she's going to make this work. She's really on it.
She's really
got something to offer.
She has great stories to tell.
Yeah. And listening a lot to of her knowledge. On the
radio. Yeah. Yeah. I a lot of knowledge, and she's lovely to listen to, and she has good stories. She's a really interesting person.
So I'd like next, Maria, since I'm putting some agenda pushing here, to talk about you and your creativity, which I think has taken another big turn lately. I'm struck by your goddess work, but I should let you describe that.
She's different. I just started working on a new piece. What I've been doing for the past couple of years is using old quilts that people are always sending me old quilts, and they're worn and the batting is coming through and they're ripped, and I throw them in the wash to see, you know, how much of them is really going to be left when I'm done. This last quilt that someone sent me, it's just in tatters after I took it out of the wash. And yet I had this idea to make this goddess, and I could kind of see her in my mind, not completely done, but had a real, it was more of a feeling for her. And I found this, I used that last quilt that somebody sent me, and she's different than the other pieces that I've done, which mostly comprise many different parts, and I see more as kind of abstract paintings or representational paintings. But this one is just a single goddess, and the way she's coming together is she does feel different. She's very direct and very she's by herself. She's not surrounded by a lot of other things.
How would you say your work had evolved in recent months? Do you feel it's a big change?
I feel like this is a big change. I feel like, actually, now that I'm talking about it, and us talking about the open house, and the idea of my work changing, and even my feelings about myself changing, the way this goddess is standing alone, I think, kind of represents exactly what has been happening.
Wow. See, right? I love hearing that stuff, because I look at it and I wonder what's going on here. And you don't really know.
You don't really know. I don't usually know what a piece is about.
You don't know yourself.
And sometimes, you know, I don't know what it's about. Usually I can look at it when it's done and say, okay, you know, I understand this now. Sometimes I can't. And then sometimes other people tell me something where I'm like, oh, they're right about that. I hadn't really thought about that, but it comes out. I mean, this is how it comes out, but it just now. I think that's what she's about. She doesn't need a lot of embellishment. I always have this thing where I think I need to do more. I need to put more in. So if anyone out there is familiar with my drawings, you'll know that they're usually packed. It's like a horror vacuum. you know, that fear of open spaces. And so every surface is covered. And this is the first time I've done a piece where it's just a single being, and there's a real simplicity about it. And I think that's where it's coming from.
Well, I relate to that with my photography. You know, I look at something, and if I feel it in my heart, I take the picture. But I never really know why until I look at it later, or people tell me what they like about it.
Yeah, and you don't want to think about it too much, because if you think about it too much, you're going to lose that magic part of it that comes from a place inside of you that you don't quite understand. And that's what I mean, my work does, what your work does, what our writing does, you know, what your writing does is it brings out those parts of us that we're not really conscious of. And then you look at them later and it's like, oh, that's why I did that. Or even this conversation in understanding that.
I love the way this podcast has evolved. And I think this is the way, you know, we stumbled around a bit at the beginning and I had to clear my throat a few times.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, will get better when my antibiotics kick in. I think we're running out of time here.
Yeah, but we can
go a little bit over.
Just finish it up.
But I really like its authenticity. I really like we're just talking. I really like we've covered the elements in our lives, and we'll work this out. This podcast is free. You're welcome to listen to it, and you're welcome to share it. I might try to put some ads on it, because it does cost a bit of money, and we'd like to pay for it. You can also donate to us if you like the podcast and you want to make a contribution. There's buttons on both of our blogs. There will be a podcast button on the bottom of each of our blogs, so you can hear it. And we're going to have a library on our pages where you can reference all the past podcasts as they build up.
I have to say the thing that I really love about it is that the way it is a conversation and the way it's going to lead to places that we have an idea of what we might want to talk about, but it's going to lead to places like it just did that we weren't planning on. And I think that's the exciting part.
And the parts that are evolving, you can hear, you know.
Yeah, you'll hear all our mistakes.
You'll hear all of our mistakes and bumbling and stumbling.
Which are as important as anything. Mistakes are always important.
So thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Maria, for doing this.
Well, thanks. This is great. Yeah, thanks everyone for listening.
And let's see what happens. It should be going up next week. Or no, this should be next week by the time you hear it.
I think, yeah, well, we'll see.
Van Morrison's going to lead off in song. Bright Side of the Road is going to be our musical selection, which should be playing ahead and afterwards at the podcast. So wish us luck. We're off.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody, and thank you.
Thanks.